Moshe, it smells like a doctor's office now. No, no, it smells like a doctor's office.
Oh. Yeah, ready for injection.
That's good. Okay, anyway, yesterday we were learning about climbing a tree, using a tree. So we learned the din is like this. If somebody climbs a tree and they didn't know that you're not allowed to climb the tree on Shabbos, so then they're allowed to come down. In fact, they have to come down right away. Why?
You have to stay on top.
No, that's if you climbed intentionally. You know, if you climbed it that you didn't know it was forbidden to climb a tree, so then you have to come down right away. Why? Because staying on the tree, you're using the tree more. When you come down, it's momentarily, that's it. But here, you're going to be staying a whole Shabbos on the tree, so then therefore you're allowed. But if somebody climbed the tree with knowledge, that means they knew they were not allowed to do it. And they did it anyway, then they regretted what they did, so then they have to stay in the tree the entire Shabbos. Why? As a knas, a fine, that he shouldn't do this shtick again. Now the question is, what does the guy do up in the tree a whole Shabbos? He needs to eat. So the din is, if he needs food, people can give him food, but they can't put the food on the tree for him to get it, because then they're using the tree. They can hand him the food directly on the tree. But if the person doesn't feel well, or he needs the bathroom, so then the halacha is he's allowed to go down from the tree. And then he can stay down. He doesn't have to go back up. Right, he couldn't go back up. Now, what happens if he climbed the tree before Shabbos? And now Shabbos, so then he's allowed to climb down right away, in fact. You know, because, again, the longer he stays in the tree, the more he's using the tree. Okay, like we said, like this. You're not allowed to lean against the tree. You're not allowed to put your weight against the tree. You could lean lightly against the tree, that if they would pull away the tree, you wouldn't fall down. But if you want to tie your shoe, you want to lean against the tree to tie your shoe, or to take something out of your shoe, or like a stone fell in, a pebble fell in, you want to take it out. So again, if you're leaning on the tree, you're not allowed to lean on the tree on Shabbos. Now, it's forbidden to put things, we learned also, you're not allowed to put things on the tree on Shabbos. You can't put your hat, you can't put a jacket, you can't put a sweater. Now, if somebody puts things before Shabbos, okay, so then the din is like this. You're not supposed to put things on the tree before Shabbos, because you might come to take it down on Shabbos. And again, you're using the tree by taking it down. But that's only objects which are basically would be removed on Shabbos. In other words, let's say you have a hammock connected to the tree. So then, you know, because it was up before Shabbos, you can leave it there for Shabbos, because normally it's not something you would take down. A hat, a jacket, you know, you put it up, you're going to take it down. So that's not a problem. Okay, you can't take down an object on the tree from a tree on Shabbos. Okay, now next is like this. What happens if somebody hung their jacket on the tree, okay, and now you want to take out a siddur from the pocket of the jacket, or a piece of food, or whatever. So you're not allowed to take it out either, because the jacket is directly on the tree, and then the pocket, you're using again the tree, the side of the tree, which would not be allowed to take out anything from the pocket on Shabbos. Right, but I'm saying, what happens if you put it before Shabbos? So you can't. Yeah, but some people have trees in their backyard. Some people are in camps, countries. They go away for Shabbos to Big Bear. I don't know, whatever they. What?
It sounds very stupid, but forgive me.
We used to.
Yeah, I know. How does you said when we do a mitzvah in physical terms? There is a mitzvah happening in Shemayim. When we don't use a tree, what is happening over there? I just want to, in my mind, compare it. So something is happening over there. So what?
Okay. By the way, it's not a stupid question. Number one, there is no such thing as a stupid question. Number two, this I have. It's not, but let me ask a different question. We're not allowed to eat non-kosher food. Right? Can't eat chazer. Okay. So when you don't eat chazer, what happens in the heaven with the chazer?
It doesn't get elevated.
Okay, but you the tree on Shabbos is like chazer. You know what I mean? So, like, you ask, if you don't use the tree on Shabbos, so what happens to that tree in the heaven? Or there's a whole bunch of millions of gallons of water in the ocean. So when the ocean is just sitting there, minding its own business, so what happens in Shemayim from that water? It happens whatever it happens. I mean, the Torah says you can't use a tree on Shabbos, so therefore, using a tree on Shabbos, which is interesting. These are time-bound prohibitions are different than full-time prohibitions. In other words, I'll give you an example, going way off topic. Chametz on Pesach is forbidden, right? So you have a loaf of bread on Pesach is forbidden. Erev Pesach in the morning, that bread is 100% kosher. After Pesach, if you sell your chametz, that loaf of bread is again permitted. On Pesach, it became prohibited. Now, what happened to the bread? Did it go from Klipas Noga to Shosh Klipas HaTemeis back to Klipas Noga? Just from the time? Because nobody did anything for it, to it. The same thing, for instance, you're not allowed to eat food on Yom Kippur, right? That means right before Yom Kippur, the food is 100% kosher. Right after Yom Kippur, the food is 100% kosher. On Yom Kippur, the food is forbidden. Now, what does that mean, that the food is forbidden on Yom Kippur? Or chametz is forbidden on Pesach? Or any time restraint, mitzvah? Okay, so there's, going off topic, there's a famous, well, we mentioned this not long ago, by the way. There's a famous argument in the Rishonim, in the Dardan between the Ritva and the other Rishonim, if when the Torah forbids chazer, is it what's called Isser Gavra or Isser Cheftza? Is the Isser on the person or is the Isser on the object? In other words, when the Torah says you can't eat pig, right? Does that mean I can't eat pig? But pig is not bad. Pig is, you know, I can't eat it. So is it sin on me, but the object is good? What's called Isser Gavra, is the sin on a person or is it also on the object? Okay? So it's a machlekes. Most Rishonim rule that when the Torah forbids something, the object itself becomes bad. The object itself, it's not only that I can't eat it, the object is no good. It's to use Hasidic terms, Shalosh Klipas HaTemeis. It's complete tummy. It's not Klipas Noga. Okay? That is the opinion of most of the Rishonim. But now there's a big shaila in the Rishonim about two things. Rabbinic prohibition. Okay? Now, rabbinically, biblically, you can eat chicken and milk. Because it says in the milk of the mother, mother doesn't have milk. Okay? So biblically, you're allowed to eat chicken and milk. Rabbis came along and says, no, you cannot eat chicken and milk. Okay? Now, what does that mean when the rabbis forbid it? Does it mean that the rabbis make the object treif? In other words, the chachamim have the ability to make it shalosh klipas hatameis? Or no, that only God could do. The chachamim could forbid me from eating it. Do you understand? The question by rabbinic prohibitions is the Torah, because even if you hold by biblical prohibitions, Hashem could say pig is shalosh klipas hatameis. You know, it's completely treif. But the question, do the Chachamim have that same ability to make it Shalosh Klipas HaTemeis? Or the Chachamim don't have that ability to make the object treif. They have the object to tell me I can't eat it. 1 second. Okay? And the same thing, there's a big argument in the Achreinim about an issue connected to Zman, to time. Because, like bread, is bread Klipas Noga Shalosh Klipas HaTemeis? Normally, bread is permissible if it's kosher. It's Klipas Noga. All of a sudden, on Pesach, For 8 days, it becomes Sholosh Klipot HaTemeis. So before it's Klipot Naiga, then it's again Klipot Naiga, permissible evil that you can eat. And on Pesach, it's totally forbidden. So it's a big, big machlekes in the Rishonim and Achreinim by Issa's Rabbanon and by Issa's Mani. From Dalt Rebbe in Tanya, it comes out when he speaks about the forbidden things of Sholosh Klipot HaTemeis, it comes out that Chametz and Pesach is Sholosh Klipot HaTemeis, rabbinic prohibitions are Sholosh Klipot HaTemeis. In other words, the object is also forbidden. What do you mean the object is forbidden? The object is Sholosh Klipot HaTemeis. The other opinion says, no, the object is not treif. The Torah says, you as a person can't eat it. You say, God can make something treif, the rabbis can't. Or do you say the rabbis could make it? What? Everything is going to be, because evil will be removed from the earth, so all evil will be kedusha, so you can eat it. What?
We talked the other day about the unintended consequences, or that if that's the case, then it's not forbidden about the impression.
Right.
Here, sometimes you have trees where the bark is so thick that you can hit it with a sledgehammer, it won't make a dent even.
So
why is such I'm sorry to use the term, extremist view, attitude, that you cannot even lean on such a tree. I can understand if it was the tree that the leaves are close by, that there is some far-fetched possibility.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Where are you going to draw the line? Should everybody go measure every thickness of every tree and realize how far the leaves are away? I'm asking you. So the Chachamim came with an easy solution. No touching, no leaning on trees. Because you're going to say, okay, if a guy's 15 feet tall, so he can't touch a foot that's 20 feet tall. But if a guy is 3 feet tall, he can touch a... I mean, you can't. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to start drawing lines? The Chacham, that's where the Torah goes. The Torah says, this is the law. Whether in this particular case will apply, that doesn't matter. The Chacham say this is the general law. You can't lean on a tree. You can't use a tree. It doesn't matter if you're going to reach it or move it or not move it.
I think that the same intricacies in interpretation of the code that was applied here, prohibiting, if it would be applied, that in some circumstances, how you can actually touch trees.
No.
If the energy was spent on that possibility, you would have a more...
No, because the Chacham obviously spent the energy and they came up with the din that you can't.
Get the impression that whenever in doubt...
No, it wasn't like somebody in the shul used to say the rabbis were a bunch of bored people. They sat down and started making decrees. No, it didn't work like that.
Regarding the object versus the person, which one is the prevailing opinion or the
provided opinion? The object is not kosher. Not the person. Okay. Okay, you can't shake a tree. Because, again, shaking the tree, obviously fruit will fall off the tree and so on. Okay, now, yesterday we started discussing, we left off in the middle. Am I allowed to smell a fruit that's on the tree? So yesterday we said esu, but really the esu you also can because it's still a fruit. You're not allowed to smell a fruit that's on the tree. Why? Because it's edible. We're afraid if you're smelling it, you'll forget and you'll take it off to eat. Flowers that are on a tree or in a bush, so you can't eat them anyway. And if you want to smell them, you can smell them while they're on the tree also. So you're allowed to smell flowers that are on bushes or trees as long as they're not edible. Anything which is edible, you wouldn't be allowed to smell on Shabbos while it's connected to the tree because you might come to bed. Yes, sir. Yeah, because it's all that, and the fruit is muktzah. Not only that, if the fruit falls down by itself, you're not allowed to eat it until after Shabbos. Why? Because if you pick it up, again, the Chacham said, you might come to rip off a fruit from a tree, which is biblically forbidden. And that's the whole concept of the Chacham. In fact, the next thing over here is you can't ride an animal on Shabbos. Even if it's inside a city that you have an Erev and whatever. You're not allowed to ride an animal on Shabbos. Why? Because years ago, when people rode horses, they would break off a branch from a tree and use it as a whip. So again, it's a chash that you're going to transgress the malach of Kaitzer. And because biblical prohibitions are so stringent and so terrible and so deathly, So Chum were very strict in their prohibition that you shouldn't come to do, God forbid, something else.
So they were strict for...
Therefore, you can't even... Now that, because you can't ride an animal, you're not allowed to sit on an animal, you're not allowed to place your weight on an animal. You're not allowed to put your weight on an animal. Besides the fact that an animal is muksa. But... you're not allowed, for instance, he gives an example of it. You're not allowed to sit in a wagon on Shabbos, which is pulled by a horse, even if the horse is not going anywhere. But because the wagon or the carriage is attached to the horse, so then it's part of the prohibition, the using an animal.
Even if it's stationary?
Even if it's stationary.
Can you untie the cart from the horse?
Not on Shabbos. Then it's all completely muxed anyway. Yeah? You can't move. You can't. An animal is muks on Shabbos. You're not allowed to move it. You could touch it. You can't move it.
How about if it's muks? So why don't we say that it's muks rather than to say that we're afraid that you're going to take a branch and use the branch to?
No, because you're not moving it with your hands. You're sitting on it. Muks is only forbidden when you move it the normal way with your hands.
So you could sit on the horse.
No, you can't sit on the horse because you're not allowed to use an animal because you might rip off a branch. But muksa wouldn't be an issue.